Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. What a sacred mercy it is, beloved friends, that the Saviour did come. Where would we be had he not rent the heavens and come down? When we left the subject this morning, we were looking a little of that great joy that these dear shepherds were to be favoured with. And I looked at it in two ways, but there are two further points I just want to name in this. He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The first is, this was not carnal joy that was to be conveyed to them. It was true spiritual joy. The joy they should know would be in their never-dying souls. And may we lay that to heart this afternoon. We hear so much of many that are full of joy because of the natural festivity of the season, but are to know that real spiritual joy. That Christ had come here to these shepherds as their Saviour, their Redeemer, and may we have it conveyed to each of our own souls. The second thing was this. He says, a great joy. It was not small joy. It was a great joy. And oh, what a mercy it is that the great joy the child of God will be blessed with will be known here in some sweet and sacred measure, but the fullness of that joy will be known in glory, and how great that will be. Words will never be able to express it. The apostle, with all the wisdom and grace and understanding he was given in the vital things of God, he could say, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath laid up for his dear people. It's past all description. The nearest dear Luke could get was speaking of it, great joy. And may the Lord favour us in this coming year if we're spared with seasons of great joy. You know, there's a wonderful record throughout God's holy word of times of great joy, wasn't it? But this was the greatest of them all. You know, the song of deliverance that the children of Israel sang when they were brought out from the Red Sea and delivered from Pharaoh and all his host was a time of joy. But nothing compared to the great joy there was here. I want to go further. He says, which shall be to all people. Natural professors of religion immediately lay claim to such a word as this and say, well, it means all men, all people. What it means in its reality is every one of God's elect children, all of them. Not one will be left out. They will all know these good tidings that Christ had come and the great joy that there was with his birth. He says, which shall be, there was a wonderful certainty here, shall be to all people. All the election of grace. All those that Christ came into the world to suffer, bleed and die for. You and I, if we're among them. But then this second verse, and he says this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Well, may the Holy Spirit help us to look a little into it. Firstly, notice those first three words, for unto you. I know what this would do if we got a real desire and longing for the things of God. Immediately it will stir the sinner's heart up to desire that it may be personally for us each, for unto you. And may the Holy Spirit so apply it today. You know, it would be a sacred season to your soul and mine, wouldn't it? If the Lord were to say this to you as he did to the shepherds, for unto you, you may say, poor unworthy me. Midst all my sin, midst all my wanderings, midst all my backslidings, unto you. You think of the dear Apostle Paul, how he persecuted the Church of God and cast many into prison and rebelled against the truth, and yet the Lord came to save such a soul as he. Black, vile sinners, for unto you. Christ came to save sinners. He says, doesn't he, in the word of God, so faithfully and lovingly declared that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, unto you. And oh, may we have the application of that, unto you. I often think back, and I may have mentioned it before, you know, I often think of it when we administer the Lord's Supper, where Jesus so lovingly said, didn't he, to those dear disciples as he administered it. And I should never forget reading it once at the Lord's Supper at Ashwell, and it just melted me. Two things. It says here, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. And you think of those dear sorrowing disciples as they come to that last supper, and he says to them, for unto you. You know, that really melted my heart, it did, as I read those words, that the Holy Spirit so sealed it home. And then secondly, he says, likewise also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, and then listen, which is shed for you. Oh, may there be one soul here, and may we each be favoured with it, the Lord, to whisper that to our souls today. The Lord is claiming, you see, his people, and he says it's for you. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. Now let me come right down low to where you are, poor soul. Do you desire him to say it's for you? For you. We think too of that beautiful word that the apostle wrote to the Galatians, where he speaks of, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he goes on to say, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And then listen, who loved me and gave himself for me. And you know, if the Lord whisper that to your poor heart and mine this afternoon, it'll melt the hardest marble of your heart. Oh, it will. And now, these shepherds, you see, they needed the Lord to say this to them. Of assurance, of confirmation, of him claiming them. For unto you, and what was it unto them, is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. A Saviour. Now, look in your poor heart and mind, do we need a Saviour? What is a Saviour? One that can save from all trouble, all sin, all distress, all sorrow, and can save to the uttermost. We think of that beautiful word the apostle wrote, is it not, to the Hebrews, where he speaks of Christ came to save unto the uttermost. You know, if ever I bless the Lord for such a word, I have that, unto the uttermost. Uttermost sinners, uttermost in their afflictions. You know, it's a deep place to come into, isn't it? But he saves to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Do you know what it is to feel an uttermost sinner? Lord, I'm the very worst of sinners. You know, we find in the Word of God, don't we, the Lord saying that he came, and the old preachers used to often say, it came to save the worst sinners, the vilest of sinners. The hymn writer said it, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. But you know, some of the old preachers used to say the Lord not only came to save the worst of sinners, but he sent the worst of sinners, the worst of worst sinners to preach. Because how can we preach the sin and vileness there is within our hearts without knowing it's sinners that need a Saviour? We sing in the hymn, don't we? Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls have here a friend. So this was music to the ears of the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Well, let's look at it in a few ways. First of all, what do we need saving from? We need saving from our sins. And not only saving from our sins, we need saving from the consequences of sin. You see, it is the... And this is what many forget. It's the consequences of sin that have cast the soul into hell. Unless they're saved by this mighty Saviour. And so these, no doubt, some of these shepherds, if not all of them, knew what it was to feel the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And that's not just lip confession of it, it's feeling it. The hymn writer said, and oh, how sweetly the hymn writers took up those blessed themes, where he speaks of the true mourners. To see sin smart but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. And you know, it's when we feel that guilt, that sin within, and the wretchedness and vileness, that we need this mighty Saviour. And you know, those dear shepherds needed him. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Saviour, one that can save to the uttermost, one that can save from all sin. Oh, see, think of that precious blood that the dear Redeemer shed at Calvary. We read, don't we, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, saveth us from all sin. Not some of it. You know, you can face the devil with that word. He say, well, there's this sin not pardoned, that sin that's not pardoned. He hasn't saved you from this, he hasn't saved you from that. You know, that is a comprehensive word. He saveth from all sin. And the devil will never do you out of that, poor soul. He saveth from all sin. No matter how black, how vile. Yes, the very worst of sinners, the dear hymn writer said. These are they that Jesus came to save. A Saviour. But then we need saving from our afflictions, don't we? And when I say afflictions, I don't mean just bodily afflictions, though that is so. You know, there have been many cases where doctors have given up on patients because they cannot do any more for them. And really they felt, well, all they can do is let them peacefully die away. But the Lord has saved them. Even from the very worst of afflictions. And he can do it today, you know. Oh, he can. Even a body. Or of mind. But then there's the affliction of our souls, isn't it? And we need saving from that affliction that's all caused by sin. The malady is felt within, the remedies without thee. Like the hymn writer said concerning the dear children of Israel when the serpents had bitten them. Oh, the malady they felt because of those bites. But look, where was the remedy? It wasn't in them, was it? It wasn't in Moses, but it was in the Lord. And he had the remedy to heal them. And what was that remedy? All they got to do was look, wasn't it? And that's what faith, that's why he gives his dear children faith. And you know, with these shepherds, they were given faith to look out of it all to this glorious Redeemer that was to be born. For unto you is born this day. You know, this was one of the days the Lord has made. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And when you look through Holy Writ, you will find there were many precious days that the Lord had made. And what did he do when he brought them into those days? They could rejoice in it. Or they could. And you think of the glorious birth of the dear Saviour, and it's celebrated throughout the earth today all these years since, over 2,000 years since his birth. And do we not rejoice in it? And then, of course, there are times in our lives where he brings us, this is the day the Lord hath made. You know, I often felt it concerning a wedding, you know, and a marriage. You know, for those joined together by the Lord, this is the day the Lord hath made. And they can rejoice and be glad in it together, can't they? And then, of course, there is the day of our birth, naturally. Many rejoice at the birth of John the Baptist, but far more rejoiced at the birth of the dear Saviour. As we looked at 2 weeks ago, it was a wonderful day, wasn't it? The day of John the Baptist's birth to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. They could rejoice in the day, couldn't they? But then think of those times in your life as we look back through this year. Have there been a few days, and I hadn't thought of naming this at all, but where you could rejoice and be glad in it? Not just concerning the glorious birth of the Saviour, but concerning the blessings the Lord has given you. It may be the blessing of pardon in yourself. This is the day the Lord hath made. He's brought you to that day when you've favoured to know, and may we long for it more and more, our pardon signed and our peace procured. And concerning that day, you can say it, can't you? This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And the shepherds could rejoice, couldn't they? And be glad in it. A saviour. But then we need saving from our troubles, don't we? Oh, think of the saviour had power while he walked this earth. You think of those that are in trouble, the disciples when they were in the sea, tossed in the ship, they were in deep trouble, fearing the waves, fearing the tempest. But what did Jesus do? As their saviour, he arose and saved them from the sea, the raging of the storms. You see, this mighty saviour, and what a mercy it is today, he still has the same power. He's mighty to save. I love that word in Isaiah, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. And you look how he saved them from that sea. He had power to control it, you see. He had power to lift them above it all. And so he can in your soul and in mine and in your pathway. And look at the power he manifested as the saviour of sinners, when he put away all the sins of the dear man with the sick of the palsy. They couldn't understand it, the Pharisees and the scribes, how he could do it, but he had all power. They had no faith. They knew not what he did. But because of what they questioned him, he said to them, which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, take up thy bed and walk, or thy sins that are many are all forgiven. He could go on his way, couldn't he? It was one of the days the Lord had made. This mighty saviour, you see. And then you can think of other cases, the woman with the issue of blood and the lepers that were blind. Here was a mighty saviour. You see, those lepers, they heard that Jesus passed by. They couldn't see him, but they knew what their need was. Do you know what your need is today? And do you need the Lord Jesus, and do I? The Lord knows. And what did they cry out? Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And what did the Lord do? He restored their sight. He gave them sight so they could see. Not only naturally, but spiritually too. They could see their sin, they could see their wretchedness, and they could see in the dear Lord Jesus there was everything they needed. And they could see in his precious blood that it was able to cleanse them from all sin. A saviour. And when we're condemned under God's holy law and tremble like Moses did at the holy law of God, there was no salvation in the law, was there? Oh, you think of that beautiful hymn on the hiding place that I think it was dear Mr. Brewer wrote it, and you know, I should never forget it being sung in Chatham Chapel many years ago in the old chapel, where he speaks of the dear Lord Jesus being the hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view, to Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. There was no hiding place there, was there, for the poor wretched sinner? But what does he go on to say? Ere long, a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel's form appeared. She led me on with placid peace to Jesus as my hiding place. Oh, what a mercy it is we have such a Saviour, a mighty Saviour. But you will notice too, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. He was in the city of David, the holy city. A saviour. David's greater son. You know, there was no king in Israel or in Judah, like he said, and the Lord said, my servant David. And he was the fruit and offspring of David, was dear. The dear Lord Jesus. And here we see the sweet fulfillment of all those promises that had gone before, that there would arise a Saviour that could save the blackest and vilest of sinners and save his people from their sins. And now the day had come. And these dear shepherds were to rejoice in it. Which is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. But then he goes further, and I just want to hint at that before we leave it this afternoon. He says, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It seemed to strike me quite forcibly in thinking upon this word, and this shall be a sign unto you. You know, if you're taking a journey, and especially if you don't know the exact route you're taking, you'll look for the signs. Over the years in the ministry, often the deacons, when I've gone to a fresh chapel, have said, well, you follow this sign and that sign, and they mark out places of importance to look for, and you look for those signs that you're on the right road. Now think about it spiritually. You know, as we venture, if we're spared into a coming year, may we have those signs from heaven. And there are some sweet signs, you know, throughout God's holy word. And one of the signs that we all look for be this. Is the Lord there? You know, the way I take the hymn writer said cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. You think of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. That wonderful sign they were blessed with was the sacred presence of the Lord with them. And they knew what it was to feel it, and they knew what it was to know it. The sign. You know, over the years, especially when we've been on holiday, when there's not one of our chapels near, I've gone to different places we have, and you know, one of the first things I look for when I go into those sanctuaries is the Lord there. And if the Lord's there, one of the signs will be there will be reverence and there will be humility. If there's no reverence, dear Mr. Wood used to say, you take reverence out of worship, everything is gone. We went to a place at Bala once when we were staying in Wales, and I was recommended to me by a deacon I esteem highly. But I went, you know, we went there, and there was no reverence in the place. If ever I could have fled from a place, I did then. You see, the sign, the Lord is there. And there will be reverence, and there will be humility. And everything will be done in the fear of God. Wonderful sign. Now they had this sign, you see. He shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. This was the wonderful sign. This was the Christ, you see. And then, of course, there are signs that you'll need to be the Lord to direct you and show you the way. And the promises he gives you. The word from heaven, it may be, this is the way, walk ye in it. A wonderful sign, you see. If you've got a real exercise, and we think of it concerning the sacred step of baptism and following the Lord, you'll look for the signs, you see. We look back in our own little life and we think of the exercise, and it didn't matter where I went when I had that exercise, it was preached. Nobody knew what I was in, only the Lord. But he sent his servants with the signs, you see, the evidences that the thing was of God. And may we be given that eye of faith to watch the signs. You know, the old saints, they had wonderful discernment. They detected the signs. Like if there's the fear of God in a person's heart, they could detect it. And you look for the signs, you say, the evidences. And here they were given this wonderful sign. And then I must leave it. But you see, the second thing was how suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. And what were they doing? Praising God. And the shepherds could do it as well, couldn't they? We read that when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And in conclusion, you know, everything the Lord told these dear shepherds concerning the birth of the Saviour was fulfilled. And they could praise and bless his holy name. They glorified the Lord. thy praise the Lord for all that they had heard, and not only what they'd heard, but what they'd seen, and they saw the wonders God alone had done, and thy glory, glory to God in the highest, the angels proclaimed, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, I scratched around the surface of this today. May the Holy Spirit apply this sacred word to each of our souls throughout this sacred season, and too as we venture into the new year. Amen.